Take your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to the book of Jonah. Last week we studied verses 1, 2, and 3, and we saw Jonah make an incredibly bad decision. The Lord called him to go and preach to the city of Nineveh, and of course Nineveh was the avowed enemy of the northern kingdom of Israel, capitaled in Samaria. And we learned that just not too long before God had called him to do that, Jonah had actually been the hero in the nation of Israel because God had sent him word to speak to the king, Jehoram, to strengthen the northern defenses, and the Assyrians were pushed back. And so now, in a turn that Jonah cannot understand, God is asking him or telling him to go and preach to the Ninevites because it's God's desire to save these people and to try to turn them from their wicked ways. Well, Jonah doesn't see it that way, and so he is going to go his own way. He's going to ignore what the Lord wants, and he flees from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine any man thinking he can flee from the presence of the Lord? And yet we probably have thought it ourselves, and if we hadn't had that thought in those words, we've thought we could hide something in our lives from the Lord. So we'll pick the reading up in verse 4, and we'll read through verse 16. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. That's amazing, isn't it? Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Let's pray. Father, help us now as we study. Lord, I pray that folks would be attentive, and that much good would be done in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We find ourselves this evening on that ship with Jonah. Having left Joppa, he's making his way to Tarshish. Now, you have to understand just how significant that is, because most commentators, as you study, will tell you that Tarshish is a city on the Iberian Peninsula, Spain, and it is at the furthest extreme of the Mediterranean Sea, and it is in the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. So understand what Jonah is trying to do. Jonah has been called to go east, he's going west. Jonah's been called to go to Nineveh, he is going as far west as he can possibly get, and that's as far as you could go, thinking that somehow he could flee from the presence of the Lord. We said last week, and we'll restate this week, that no matter where you go and no matter who you are, you cannot escape the presence of the Lord. Our choir sang a song this morning, God is There. And some of those lines taken from Psalm 139, and there is nowhere you can go. You can't go to a dark enough place. You can't go to a low enough place. You can't put enough things over top of you so that God is not able to see you. God is everywhere, and God knows where you are. And so he finds himself in this ship. I guess he thinks that running from the Lord, it's all going to work out. It'll all be okay. But he finds out just the opposite. Notice two things with me. Number one, a mighty tempest from the Lord. I don't like to be in storms no matter what. But I'm telling you, when a storm is defined as a great wind, a mighty tempest, and on purpose from the Lord, I don't want to be in that storm. Do you? I do not want to be, especially in a little ship on the Mediterranean Sea, in a mighty wind and storm that God has sent on my account. When we run from the Lord, now listen to me, when we run from the Lord, we ought not expect peace and calm. And Jonah knew he was running from the Lord. There was no question in his mind when that storm hit why that storm was on the sea that day. He knew. And can I suggest something to you if you're a believer of any time in your life, a year or two? I don't know about you, but I can suggest of myself, I know when I'm pleasing God and I know when I'm not pleasing God. I know when I've obeyed God and I know when I haven't obeyed God. And I may not be the brightest guy in the world, but I know when God is dealing with me. And sometimes God deals with me because I'm disobedient. I know you'd never have that testimony, would you? I know when God is dealing with me when I'm disobedient. And I'm going to tell you what I know about me, and I suppose it's true about you. Sometimes I get irritated because God deals with me because I'm disobedient. That's about as dumb a day as you can have. When God deals with you, say, yes, God. You know when God is speaking to you. You know when you've disobeyed. You know when God is dealing with you. Immediately say, yes, God. Jonah did not. The nature of the storm is seen readily in the reaction of the sailors. The sailors are not weekend sailors. These are not guys who have a little sunfish and they're just going to sail around on the lake a little bit. These are trained men of the sea. And I can tell by their actions that they know pretty quickly this is not a normal storm. Number one, they turn to religion real quick. When you're in a boat and it's going up and down and just about to sink, you may be cursing one minute, but when your life is real danger, you all of a sudden find that your language cleans up. And you may not care anything about God's command on your life or demand on your life before, but when your life gets in real trouble, you're real interested in having a good relationship with the Lord. And these sailors, as soon as this wind begins to blow and they begin to recognize the nature of this storm, they start calling out to their gods. Now, their gods don't have ears. Their gods are not living gods. Their gods are not the true gods. But they're doing all they know because they know their life is in true jeopardy. So they begin crying out to the Lord, to their gods. It was probably a crew from many regions. And they're calling out to any and every deity they can think of. Can you think of another god I can call on? We forgot that one. Ah! And they're calling any god they've ever heard the name of because they know their life is in real danger. They begin to hurl the cargo over the side of the ship. Now I want you to understand something else. These men are sailors for profit. They're not out just fishing on a Saturday afternoon, and they're not just out for a pleasurable little cruise or a little sail. They are hauling cargo from point A to point B, and they get paid when the cargo gets to where it's supposed to go. And when they start throwing the cargo overboard, I want you to understand it's going to come out of their pocket or their hide. Every piece of cargo they throw over, it's either something that is precious to themselves or it's something that they pledge to get to point B, and they're only going to get paid if it gets there. So all of a sudden, we have men who are trained sailors, hardened men, no doubt, pulling out of the port of Joppa. And not too far out, the storm hits and they get religion and they stop caring about how much they make. Now, if you ever wanted to see a man who's in trouble and he wants to know where God is, just find a guy who's cursing one minute, religious the next, and not caring about what he makes. He just wants to live. In the midst of all that, you know what's amazing? Jonah is asleep. A storm that is strong enough that men who are sailors are scared to death, calling out to God, lightening the ship, and Jonah is laying in the hold of the ship, sound asleep. I don't know how dull sin can make you, but evidently it can make you incredibly dull. Jonah is going down. I won't take long on this, but I want you to notice something. Notice in verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But look at this. When you go the opposite direction of what God wants you to do, I want you to notice how God phrases it. He went down to Joppa. I want you to notice in verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his own God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and let me supply a word there, he had lain down and gone to sleep. Down, 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 down. Anytime we purpose in our hearts to go another direction other than what God wants us to do, you mark it down. It is not an upward journey, it's a downward journey. I don't care how much money you make as you go your way instead of God's. I don't care how popular you become as you go your way instead of God's. I don't care how pleasant the circumstances at first seem to be as you go your way instead of God's. What marks, what characterizes a journey away from the will of God for our lives is a downward journey. When we flee from the presence of the Lord and from doing His will in our lives, it is a downward journey. Running from God brings a cost not only to us, but it brings a cost to all those around us. I don't know how many conversations I've had with fathers, husbands, who made decisions that took them out of the will of God. And they made those decisions not spiritually, but made those decisions secularly or materialistically. And only later did they realize the impact that it had on their families. And they realized that their decision to exit the direction that God wanted them to go had not only a price on their life, it had a price on their family. And you could apply that to any organization. You could apply that to any life. When we disobey God, when we go a direction that God does not intend us to go, it is not a victimless crime. It not only impacts us, it impacts all of those around us. Brother, it is sad when the believer has to be instructed to pray by the pagans rather than the believer instructing the pagans. I was thinking as I've been studying these last couple of weeks, just how to try to illustrate the sadness of Jonah's life. And I won't again spend too long on this, but I want you to remember something. this is a ship, this is a journey from Joppa, which is Tel Aviv. It's not far from Jerusalem. It would almost be the port of Jerusalem. And it is a journey from Joppa west. It's going to go past Rome. It's going to go past Italy. It's going to Spain. And this incredible storm hits. And Jonah is exposed to be a man out of fellowship with God, no power with God, no connection with God. And I was thinking, I remember another journey on the Mediterranean Sea where another storm hit. Do you remember that storm in Acts 27? When Paul is being taken to Rome because he's going to have to stand before Caesar, and Eurycleidon, the storm even has a name, Eurycleidon. And they get out in the Mediterranean Sea, and that ship is buffeted with the winds. It's up and down in the waves, and they are literally scared to death for their lives. It ends up that the ship breaks up. But I just want to spend a moment. Can you remember the difference between Jonah and Paul? Jonah is down in the hold asleep, and he's the problem, and people are suffering around him because he is running from the will of God. But the Apostle Paul was an incredible encourager in the midst of the storm because he wasn't running from the will of God. He was right smack in the middle of the will of God. Hey, all kinds of lives are going to experience storms. All lives are going to have difficult circumstances. But depending on whether you are walking with God or running from God, it will determine whether you're a blessing in those storms or a curse. Let me ask you a question tonight. In your life, are you a blessing to those who are around you? Are they encouraged in the Lord? Are they drawn closer to the Lord? Do they have more ability to serve, and are they seeing more blessing because they're associated with your life? That was how it was with Paul. But now the man of God, Jonah, is in with a bunch of pagans, and they're being cursed because of the man of God. Which are you? Does your life lift, or does your life sink those around you? And by the way, ask yourself the question the other way. Am I hanging around people that sink me or lift me? Do my friends bring blessing into my life because they're walking with God and they're encouraging me to walk in the will of God? Or am I walking with people who are dragging me away from the will of God, and I'm going to get in a storm and I'm not going to be connected to the Lord? I'll tell you what, if I'm going to be on a boat in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, you know who I want on my boat? Paul. You know who I never, ever, ever want to sail with? Jonah. Jonah wakes up. The captain's finally had enough of Jonah sleeping through the crisis. And so he wakes him up to the command, "O sleeper, call upon thy God." Jonah's first reaction must have been, "I can't. I can't call on my God. I'm running from Him." You've heard preaching all your life that someday the crisis is going to come and you're going to need God and you're going to be so far from Him. I'm not indicting anyone in this room, but I'm telling you, I'll tell you this for sure. If you think that you will lead a crisis-free life, you are mighty naive. And when that crisis or when those crises hit, you sure want to be able to call on God. God is always ready to hear. It's not that God is up there saying, "Nope, don't call me." It's that we are so grossly convicted and so incredibly ashamed that sometimes we have been so disobedient and gotten so far from God that we recognize the crisis and we're too embarrassed to call out to God. May we never, never reach that point in our lives. We're not told if Jonah actually comes up on deck and prays. He comes up on deck. We don't know if he prays or not. The circumstances, though, are continuing to worsen. So they decide to cast lots to see if they can at least identify the problem person. Jonah may have thought that was foolish, you know. Well, I'm a religious man and I don't think you have to cast lots. But they weren't really concerned about Jonah's religion at this point. So they cast lots. I don't know whether that means they rolled the dice. I don't know if it means that they had some bones and they threw the bones. I don't know. But I do know this. I believe God took control of that dice. That's right. I said God took control of dice or bones or whatever it was. And when they were thrown, they indicated Jonah was the problem. You say, God wouldn't do that. Well, God will take Balaam's donkey and make him talk to expose a foolish sinner. And so I think God can take dice or bones or whatever it was that they cast and expose a foolish sinner. When Jonah is exposed, it's amazing to me that he's not immediately thrown overboard. That's amazing to me. Instead, he's given an opportunity to explain his sin and his status. And he confesses two things. Number one, he confesses his nationality. I'm a Hebrew. And then he confesses, and this is so vitally important, I fear the Lord. I fear God who created the world and who created this sea that is tossing us around so much that we're in fear of our lives. And evidently Jonah had told them that he was fleeing from the presence of his God when he boarded. That's what verse 10 says. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told him. What is there, a quiz when you board? Why are you boarding? I'm running from God. Hey, come on. When I get to heaven, I want that one. I want to understand that. I'll tell you what I think it may mean. I think it may mean, now stay with me on this, I think it may mean that as Jonah is getting aboard that ship, he knows he's not with sanctified people. And they're cursing and they're making maybe ugly jokes and they're drinking. And Jonah, when he gets on there, he doesn't want to be the patsy. And so when he gets on there, maybe he joins in some of that rough talk, or maybe he just overlooks that rough talk, and maybe he's even asked, you a Hebrew? No, I'm not a Hebrew man. I left that God. You say, well, I don't think the Bible says that. I don't think the Bible says that, but I've observed human nature long enough. You put somebody that doesn't really want to stand with and for God with a bad crowd, they'll act like the bad crowd. And so he's on board. And they know he's running from the Lord. But he fears God. And my personal opinion, in that moment, when he says those words, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land, I think it begins to turn in Jonah's mind. He knows who the storm is after. He knows he's the one that is causing the issue. He knows he's running from God. He knows in the prophet's heart that he can't hide from God, that you can't run from the presence of God. And in that moment, when he makes that confession, I believe it starts to turn in his heart. Notice with me a repentant Jonah. Even though Jonah had been identified as the sinner and he's acknowledged that he fears the Lord, nothing has been done. The storm continues to grow and it becomes obvious that somebody's going to have to take action. And now this Jonah, who is a man of God, and now they know who he is, and it's clear, they come to him and they ask his advice. Probably because they don't know who Jehovah God is. They don't know who this God is that he has mentioned, and they've called out to every other God. They've done what they thought every other God would want, and still the storm goes. They don't know this Jehovah God. Hey, Jonah, what does your God want? Jonah says, I think what he wants is for you to pick me up and throw me overboard. I have tried to put myself in the lives of those sailors. Like right now. You're gone. Okay. We were hoping you'd say that, Jonah. They didn't. When he said, I think you should cast me into the sea, they didn't. Now, I've puzzled, why in the world didn't they? Maybe they were afraid that killing this God's prophet would offend the God worse. And so maybe what they're doing is bargaining with God. If we can get this guy, God's prophets, to the shore, God will bless us and he'll bring our cargo back up out of the sea. And so they row harder and harder and harder trying to get to the sea. You ever make deals with God? Yeah. Well, they recognize a few moments after rowing, this is not going to do it. Jonah has realized that the storm is all about him. And he recognizes there's but two choices. Stay on the ship and drown with the crew, or be thrown overboard and drown alone. And he makes that choice. Finally, the storm is so bad and they've run out of things that they think they can do. And the truth is, they come and they pick Jonah up and they hurl him into the sea. Again, I'm not trying to be silly tonight, but I put myself in these stories. I feel myself, if I'm Jonah, being picked up. I feel myself being hoisted over the side, and I'm soaked and drenched, and it's heaving up and down. And as I'm in the air going over the side, what am I saying? Sorry. Sorry, God. God, I'm sorry. Lord, I know I'm getting what I deserve, but I want you to know I'm sorry. And I really do believe. I don't know if Jonah fully repented when he said, I fear the Lord, or if Jonah fully repented when he was being tossed over the side, but I do believe with all my heart that at some point in these moments, Jonah fully repented, because God is going to do something very significant for him. But I also want you to see what transpires back in the boat. Look at verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. As soon as Jonah hits the water, the storm ceases. The last thing the men see on the boat, I suppose, is Jonah going under the waves. I don't know if they saw the fish or not, but I know this. The first thing they noticed after Jonah hit the water was that the water stopped rolling and the storm ceased. Now again, you don't have to be too bright and you don't have to be too much of a Bible student to recognize that if a man tells you, I'm the problem, throw me over, and this is the most unusual storm you've ever been in, and you throw him over and the storm ceases, he was telling you the truth. His God just did something amazing. These men get it. And they start making vows to the true God. This God that Jonah had told them about briefly. Is it too much to say that these men were converted? I don't think so. I don't think so. You see, Jonah's rebellion was going to consign them to hell because they were going to die in this storm. But Jonah's confession and repentance allowed them to see the grace and the mighty power of God, and I believe it turned their heart. Your rebellion will only drag others to hell. Your confession and your repentance can make all the difference in the lives of those that you've impacted through sin. You cannot flee from the presence of God. You can't flee on a ship. You can't be in a dark storm. You can't be in the water. You can't be in a fish's belly and not be in the presence of the Lord. And yet through all of this, and let me end with this, God's mercy is absolutely amazing. Look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared. What does that mean? The Lord wanted Jonah to repent. Yeah. The Lord wanted Jonah. Come on, Jonah, get right. Get right. Get right. He's a man of God who has wanted to flee from the presence of God. And God is not up there saying, let me squash you like a bug. God is up there saying, I want you to get right, Jonah. I want you to get right, Jonah. I love you, Jonah. I want to use you, Jonah. I can bless your life, Jonah. We can see these sailors saved, Jonah. We can turn this around, Jonah. I'm getting a fish ready, Jonah. I'm praying, Jonah. God's not praying. Jonah, I want you to get right. I want you to get right. He's prepared a fish because he wants this guy to get right. Well, you may be away from God tonight, but I'm telling you, God wants you to get right. And no matter where you are in your life, no matter how cold your heart has become, God can warm that heart. And God has prepared for you ways that He can use you, ways that He can bless you. Now, I would suggest to you that maybe right after you repent, God's blessing may not look like one. It may not have occurred to Jonah as he was swallowed into this whale's belly, fish's belly. Hey, I'm being blessed. But God had prepared that. And boy, I want to tell you something. When we get away from God, and our hearts get cold, and we take ourselves out of the direction that God wants us to go, it may not just be okay, like a fairy princess waves her wand and poof, I'm Cinderella. It may not just be all right all of a sudden. But I'm telling you, God is in the business of restoring His people who go the wrong way. And He may take us through some difficult things like the belly of a fish. But when we repent, when we confess, when we say, it's me, oh God, it's me, I did it, and I'm sorry, and I want to be right. Brother, God will be with you in the belly of the fish, and God will put you up on dry ground, and God will use you once again. What an amazing God of grace we serve. So Jonah, I'm sorry for the storm and I'm sorry for the testimony, but brother, when you got right, those sailors got saved and that storm evened out and God had this prepared because He wants to use you. And you know what? The message is just as valid for us. God wants to use us and restore us. He's prepared a way for us to get back. He's prepared for a way for us to be used if we will just acknowledge, I fear the Lord. The Lord that made the heaven, the Lord that made the sea, and quite frankly, the Lord who made this storm to get my attention, I fear Him. And I'm going to turn and go back to Him. Would you pray with me? Father, maybe never in such a noticeable way as Jonah in a storm on the Mediterranean Sea and swallowed by a fish. Maybe we never get away from You and it's that big or that noticed. But Lord, we do understand, no, Jonah. We understand what it is to want to go a different direction than the direction You want us to go. We understand knowing in our hearts that we've stepped away from what You want. We notice when You try to get our attention. We notice that. And part of us says, I want to go back. I want to get this right. And then our flesh says, no, You want to do what You want to do. God, help us to be wise and never stiffen our neck and pull our shoulder back when You speak to us. Help us. Help us to be willing to acknowledge our sin. Yet, Lord, when we find ourselves in a storm because you're calling us back, help us to acknowledge the storm is because of our disobedience. Because we know that you have prepared a way for us to be of use again. That is your desire. We are not throwaway people. We are not people that you want to squish. We are people that you want to use. And God, we are amazed at your grace. And help us always to be hearts that are tender, that even when we've rebelled and pulled away, when you get our attention, we say yes. Yes, God, I do fear you. And I know I disobeyed you. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'm asking you to restore me. God, help me. Lord, speak to us tonight. And for hearts that may be there or may recognize that they are just somewhere on that road, may they use this altar tonight. May this be that heaving boat where they just confess and make peace with you. Purpose in their heart that they're going to walk with you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand quietly, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I just want to give you a moment. Whatever the need is, I may not even have addressed it. Maybe you've pulled away from the Lord. Maybe your heart is cold. Maybe you're actually anticipating stepping another direction. The altar's open. Why don't you come as the instruments play? Would you come? Boy, I sense it in my heart. I've pulled away a bit. Would you come?